I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a look ahead to the State of the Union. President Bush's last such address to the nation is tonight. And a look back at Roe v. Wade. Two medical professionals grapple with the ethics of abortion. But first, we want to talk about this weekend's political news. South Carolina's Democrats chose their presidential nominee on Saturday. Record turnout, the overwhelming support of African-American voters, as well as significant numbers of white voters, propelled Senator Barack Obama to a 2-1 margin of victory over his closest competitor, Hillary Clinton. Here to talk about South Carolina, the upcoming Florida primary Tuesday and Super Tuesday, and some big endorsements over the past few days are my guests, Gwen Ifill, host of PBS's Washington Week, and Shayla Murray, political reporter with The Washington Post. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Hello, Michelle.
Gwen, this is why I don't gamble, okay? And this is why I don't let people talk me into making predictions anymore. The polls had Senator Obama up by 10 points, a comfortable margin. Not 2-1. What do you think happened?
You know, Michelle, I have known you for a long time and you never gambled, so don't start with me now. The truth is, none of us know anything about this race. I think Shayla will agree. We ran into each other in New Hampshire where we never knew what was about to happen, and it was proven, we were proven correctly. You know, the interesting thing about South Carolina is that, you know, until the end of last year, Hillary Clinton was still leading in South Carolina. We remember not very many months ago when people were asking whether Barack Obama was black enough to get the black vote in South Carolina. Well, not only did Hillary Clinton fade quickly, but I think now she's decided that Barack Obama is plenty black. And it's very interesting to watch how they grapple with that now going into the next 22 states. I know the Clinton people expected to lose. We could read from the spin that they expected to lose South Carolina. But nobody, not the Obama people, not the Clinton people, thought it would be by that margin.
Shayla, you're just back from South Carolina and also with a quick stop in, I think, what, Alabama and Georgia and and you've got the kind of the circles under your eyes to prove it. But we were also in South Carolina last week. But I have to tell you, the numbers going into the state did show comfortable, but nothing like this. What's your take?
You know, nobody saw this coming, even inside the Obama campaign, where they were hopeful that they would win by a comfortable margin, but nothing like this blowout. I think what we saw on Saturday is something that could potentially change Democratic politics in the South if this formula that Senator Obama used to win in South Carolina can be transferred into other states. Where one of the most interesting things he's done as a candidate is he's shunned the entire old black guard infrastructure that controls Southern politics. This whole notion of street money that you pay to get people to the polls and lining up preachers and community leaders and whatnot. And that was sort of the approach that the Clintons took. It's the traditional approach. It's how you turn out votes in black congressional districts. And it's been the formula to win so far. And he completely rejected that entire approach.
What did he do instead?
He built the same grassroots-style organization that he built in Iowa and in New Hampshire, and set targets for each county and precinct, and had 9,000 volunteers out gathering people and just in more traditional, straightforward stuff. But I think it really struck a chord with a lot of voters who had been disenfranchised from the old system and felt that they wanted to participate in something that was on the up and up, and also just it gave them a choice that they didn't feel like they could make before.
And it's interesting. I ran into a voter last week when we were in South Carolina who said something like that. I didn't really know what she was talking about at the time until you mentioned it to me. She said one of the things that she was inclined toward Hillary Clinton because she knew more about her, but she was invited to one of these closed door meet the candidate things, and she didn't like that. Whereas when Obama came to the state, everything was open. You know, they're all public rallies; anybody could come. She said, "I don't like that whole key informant thing." Whereas you're supposed to be influenced by somebody you already know, and I just found that fascinating. Gwen, you'd mentioned the whole question of race and who was or was not injecting race suffused the final week of campaigning. This is how Senator Obama chose to interpret the results.
The assumption that Republicans won't cross over. The assumption that the wealthy care nothing for the poor and that the poor don't vote. The assumption that African Americans can't support the white candidate. Whites can't support the African American candidate. Blacks and Latinos cannot come together. We are here tonight to say that that is not the America we believe in.
So, Gwen, first of all, do you buy his analysis? And did, in the end, race matter?
You know, not enough can be made of this schizophrenia from the Clinton campaign on this issue and on this whole handling of South Carolina. And you guys probably saw it on the ground closer up than I did. It is interesting to see them make a big run at South Carolina, then back off. Then she was leaving the state, then she was coming back. And then when they lost, Bill Clinton said, you know, Jesse Jackson won here anyway, you know, 1988, 1984, ignoring the fact that John Edwards also won there. There was just no one really knew what to do with this. And the exit polls seem to show that it kind of backfired. A lot of people said that, yeah, Bill Clinton's presence in the race and his aggressiveness affected their vote. But then when asked who they voted for, it was Barack Obama. So clearly there was some backlash to the way it's always been done, which is part of what the race politics. I thought the absence, actually, of Jesse Jackson himself on the campaign trail was very interesting and unremarked upon. You would think if there was ever going to be a time when Jesse Jackson, who has endorsed Barack Obama, was going to be used and useful to this campaign, it would be in his home state of South Carolina, that he had won. But in fact, he was invisible, which I think is significant as well.
And interestingly enough, his wife, Jacqueline Jackson, cut an ad for Hillary Clinton, which was played. And interesting that Shayla, what about you? The tone leading up to the South Carolina last primary, so negative, borderline nasty at times. Do you think that that had an effect? Because the exit polls aren't really clear on this. I mean, they say that most of the voters say they had already made up their minds weeks ago. There were about 25% who said they had gone into the last week undecided. So what do you think?
Well, and they certainly broke heavily for Senator Obama. I was talking to a woman on primary day in downtown Columbia, and she was a Republican, but she was a fan of Senator Obama's, and expressed to me, I think, a sentiment that's probably typical of a lot of folks in the South right now, and that is this sense that they're being stereotyped and that these behaviors and attitudes that are old and that a lot of people have moved beyond are being reinforced, and and that they are somehow trying to break out of that, and they see in Senator Obama a catalyst for moving out of an era that really a lot of people don't want to be in anymore. And there's a sense that in the South it's just sort of racism is forever and segregation is forever. And I think a lot of folks, Republicans, whites, I mean, Senator Obama did extremely well with young white voters in the state. And I think that says something about that it's a much more diverse and changing area of the country than a lot of people who don't spend a lot of time there assume.
But he got 25% or about 24% of the white vote. You can't win that way nationally.
No. I mean,
every Democratic primary is not going to have an electorate which is 50% African American.
That's right. And he obviously has some serious ground to make up with traditional Democrats, which is why this Ted Kennedy endorsement today is so significant.
Oh, we got to talk about that. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Shayla Murray, Washington Post political reporter, just back from South Carolina, and Gwen Ifill, host of PBS's Washington Week. Big endorsement news today. Caroline Kennedy throwing in for Obama over the weekend in an op-ed in the New York Times. Ted Kennedy expected to endorse Barack Obama today. Shayla, how'd that happen?
Well, this has been a long time in coming. Senator Ted Kennedy, as you can imagine, has a good eye for political talent, and I think saw it in a lot of potential in Senator Obama when he came to Washington in 2004, and has kept an eye on him and saw in his Iowa victory this potential to bridge racial divides and pull in so many young voters who the Democratic Party has courted for many election cycles now and has never figured out how to really get them to the polls. And so I think what we have is an elder statesman of the party, probably other than Bill Clinton, the elder statesman of the party, saying, this is where I see the future, and this is where I want. You know, he has real leader potential. I mean, he is a true leader. A lot of people, older Democrats, union households, Hispanics in particular, looked at the Kennedys still as, you know, icons, this is an influential and potentially really valuable endorsement for him.
Well, I think it's a 1-2 punch for this reason. Not only is Ted Kennedy a lion of the left, and there are a lot of people on the far left of the party who still look at askance at Barack Obama and don't think he's quite liberal enough for them. Not only that, but he also is someone who was Hillary Clinton's tutor in the Senate. It's not just an endorsement of Barack Obama. It's an overt rejection of Hillary Clinton, which and puts to bed, at least for the purpose of people who care about the Senate, any discussion about experience. But I don't think we should underestimate the impact of Caroline Kennedy. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, Caroline Kennedy was an icon for women my age. She was the girl who was about my age, whose dad died, and she was stoic, and she survived, and her brother died. And she just seemed someone who women of a certain age completely connected with. Last time I was on this program, Michelle, we were talking about the effect of a Gloria Steinem op-ed in the New York Times and how that seemed to get a lot of white women particularly engaged in this campaign saying, yeah, it's our turn. Well, in this case, here's another woman who speaks to a lot of women in a way that people aren't used to hearing, who is saying, no, not necessarily. Let's look at this a different way. And the fact that in her op-ed she said, this is the first person in my lifetime who reminds me of what people say my father was to them, that's another slap at Hillary, at Bill Clinton. So, and the Kennedys and the Clintons were close. So I don't think you can underestimate in about 10 different layers, including Massachusetts politics, what this means.
Very, very briefly, Shelley, in your reporting on this today, you also indicate that Ted Kennedy was disturbed at the tone of the campaigning, and in part that was partly he just didn't appreciate Bill Clinton, some of Bill Clinton's comments. Very briefly.
That's right. I think Gwen is exactly right about this. And in the last week or so, Ted Kennedy has been very upset with the Clintons, has had contentious phone conversations with Bill Clinton about some of these veiled race references. And I think that's one of the reasons this happened.
We have a lot more to talk about, and I'm thankful that the ladies are going to stay with me for just a couple more minutes. We have more with political reporters Gwen Ifill and Shayla Murray. We're going to look ahead at what's at stake in Florida and beyond, and a look ahead at President Bush's last State of the Union message with White House counselor Ed Gillespie. That's all coming up just ahead. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, White House counselor Ed Gillespie gives us a sneak preview of President Bush's State of the Union address tonight. But first, Gwen Ifill, host of the PBS program Washington Week, and Shayla Murray, a political reporter with The Washington Post, are back with us. Ladies, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks. Sure.
Want to give some acknowledgement here to John Edwards. This had to have been disappointing for him. He's a native son, born in South Carolina, represented North Carolina in the Senate, came in a distant third, something like 17% of the vote. Shayla, do you think that he says he's going to stay in? Do you think he will?
That's what he says. And he could be an interesting factor in these February 5th states, and especially in the South and conservative states in the Midwest, where he could split the white vote with Senator Clinton or at least take some vote away from her. And that maybe could help Senator Obama in some of these states.
And Gwen, it just seems as though this just wasn't his year. And I just wonder whether Senator Edwards was just overpowered by the star power of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, or whether it was his message. His message just did not resonate.
Well, timing is everything in life and in politics and in romance and whatever you want to name it. And in John Edwards' case, his timing seemed to be off. He laments aloud himself that he is up against $200 million celebrity candidates, which is a true fact. But also, there seems to be little room to even get a wedge in. For a while, he talked a lot about poverty in America. And then when he got to Iowa, he started talking about the middle class. And that's kind of where he stayed. He did get 40% of the white vote in South Carolina, which even though he only got 18% of the total, that sort of thing can really hurt another mainstream candidate. I don't know what he's gonna do here. There is some speculation about kingmaking potential for a brokered convention, but you know how quickly we all get on that exciting bandwagon, and I just call it the B word. I want to wait and see what happens.
Okay. So let's move on to Florida. That's coming up right around the bend. Senator Clinton says she's going to make a run at Florida, even though the Democratic National Committee took away the state's delegates to punish them for moving their primary up. So what's that about, Shayla?
We spent a good portion of yesterday trying to figure that out. Florida, for the Democrats, is basically a beauty contest, at least at this point, unless they decide to to seat these delegates after all. And polls show Senator Clinton with a healthy lead there. There's been aggressive absentee balloting going on, spectacular numbers that nobody really had, no record-shattering. No one's quite sure what's behind this. I think both campaigns have probably been working their supporters down there through proxies or whatever. But the so we'll see. I mean, assuming Senator Clinton wins tomorrow, she plans to claim victory there. She'll be, in Miami tomorrow night.
So what is that for? Just for the headline? Or
yeah, and I think it helps to deflate some of this tremendously positive press that Senator Obama's gotten coming out of South Carolina here.
They hope. I mean, there's something there's a great risk for her in this, in that the headline becomes she won with an asterisk or a but, which there could well be, because it seems to me that everyone is calling her on this, the fact that this is an attempt to try to get a good headline somewhere. So if you win in a contest where nobody else is competing, how big a win is that?
Well, I want to talk about the Republicans, and we have about a minute and a half left, though. There's a lot of activity in Florida on the Republican side. Mayor Giuliani, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, has really staked his campaign on Florida. And yet you've got big names, Florida Senator Mel Martinez, Florida Governor Charlie Crist endorsing Senator John McCain in the past few days. Again, I'm not going to ask anybody to predict, but I do wonder whether Giuliani's made a mistake in just staking so much on Florida, and whether we think the Republican establishment is basically coalescing around John McCain, Shayla.
We all question Mayor Giuliani's strategy of skipping the early states and going straight to Florida. It's very hard to win after losing four times in a row. And this Florida contest, which will totally overshadow whatever happens with Clinton down there, is probably going to determine, well, it will certainly set a new course in the Republican fight, because whether Romney or McCain wins, that'll give a huge jolt of momentum to either one, and it is completely tied at this point. I mean,
it's a dogfight.
It really is, and you have two totally different constituencies, and Huckabee and Giuliani both taking votes away from these front runners. So that'll be a really interesting outcome and determinative, I would imagine, for Mayor Giuliani and probably one or two of the other candidates.
So, Gwen, final thought from you. Do you think Super Tuesday will finally give us clear front runners?
Absolutely not. I think this election is going to keep us this tearing our hair out all the way, at least through the spring, it feels like. I don't know. I mean, there are so many states where he's strong, so many states where she's strong, so many things we've been wrong about. I love it that the voters get to decide.
How about that? What a concept, the voters deciding. Gwen Ivel is host of PBS's Washington Week. She's also a senior correspondent for the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. And Shayla Murray, political reporter with the Washington Post, was here with me in the studio. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.